ain't got nothing but love, babe. 8 days a geek.
I don't want it. I don't want it. Season 8 was such a f***ing shambles. Of course I don't want a prequel series. What are you talking about? What? You want to say 200 years before I'm even born? I was a Targaryen. Not that it made much f***ing difference. I don't want it. But you're gonna get it, Jon Snow, because it's called House of the Dragon, and we're gonna talk about it today. Listen to that range. Oh, wet lungs still got it, boys. ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, what is up? Those bloody lads from 8 Days a Geek are back. We've had a bit of a hiatus, lads. How long? Like 3 months? Because Jenks went off and played bloody Elvis. Ugh. And I went on a holiday. Ugh. And Pry has been sat in his bedroom working and claims that he has done nothing at all.
Hey.
And I feel sorry for him.
I said nothing interesting. There's a difference, okay?
God, that sounds like a threat. Jesus. And you'll never know hope or friendship. And I feel sorry for you. God. Boys, some records here. Because we didn't.
Elvis?
Elvis. I mean, great film.
Hail the children.
Great film. Excellent performance, Austin Butler. I really enjoyed it. Have you boys both seen it?
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, God, yeah. No, I thought it was terrific. I really enjoyed it. But no, that wasn't... Was that the record? No.
We didn't ask that at all. You just decided to go for that.
I really don't know what happened then.
No, the record
that
is...
That was like Chris from a different podcast. Yeah. Came in and joined us for like 5 seconds.
Yeah.
And then disappeared.
But no. No, the record is... I've already sworn twice.
Yeah? Horrible.
It's been a stressful... 3 months without you boys.
Well, you've been on holiday.
It's been bloody awful. No, the holiday itself was great, but you know, things have really gone downhill since. But never mind. But boys, yeah. Oh, my name's Chris Weeks and I'm joined by
absolute shambles.
Just forgotten by
AJ Jenks,
and not to mention
Benjamin Pryor.
Yeah, we're back. Wow, boys,
you're taking your time.
I know, my God.
Into this, aren't you?
I forgot that we even did that. So, boys, here's the deal. It seems like, I don't know, I almost don't want to say it because I'm going to jinx it, but this seems like a really good time to be into fantasy and to be watching television.
Yeah.
Put those two things together. Put those two things together. And, we're in... We seem to be in excellent
times. I don't know whether we should just put him out of his misery or just, you know.
No.
He's look, a state.
It's exciting because I was on Neil Gaiman's Twitter earlier, obviously. And
Neil who?
What's he talking about, bro?
Neil you know who
what
Neil Gaiman
is. Know.
I literally just said, I don't know whether...
House of Dragon?
I know we are, I know. But look, you cannot deny the House of the Dragon is... massively wrapped up with the Rings of Power.
Bacon.
Oh, if only. To make it all the sweeter.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Right.
Said this is almost like a riddle.
No.
Right.
No, the two things are intrinsically linked as like direct competitors. And apparently, and I struggle to believe it, they're both awesome. This is the response of Rings of Power, which I'm like, is it? I mean, is it? I just...
We can't really comment that much on Rings of Power because it isn't out yet.
but they've had the premiere responses, and like serious people are saying it's awesome.
Yeah, but are these like woke people that weren't like kids back when Lord of the Rings came out? Are these like little 18-year-olds that are like, oh wow, this is amazing?
No, it's Neil Gaiman.
Neil who?
Oh God. Neil Gaiman's an unbelievable fantasy author.
Oh, right.
Ridiculous. I'm already irritated. We've not even started. But look, you're right. We're not here to talk about the Rings of Power. We're here to talk about that other one. And, I mean, I don't know, lads. I was just full of trepidation, you know? Yeah. I just didn't read much about it. I mean, I saw the trailer, but only like watched it once. I didn't like study it because I was like, I'm in. Yeah. It's just going to be the same.
I honestly didn't care. I saw that first trailer and I thought, that's given us nothing, which I actually don't mind because a lot of trailers sort of give us too much these days. So I was like, fine. But it didn't excite me. So I didn't even know it was coming out until probably like the week before.
Yeah, I think I'm exactly the same.
Yeah, and then...
Well, should we go back in time quickly?
I'd love
How
to.
How far?
No, let's just start this podcast again. That's what I mean.
I don't want it.
Oh, sorry, no.
So obviously the last time we were in Westeros was season 8, episode 6.
The worst... Well, that wasn't... Was that the worst one?
Was that exactly? Was that the worst episode of that series, or was episode 3 the worst, or 4,
or 5? Which was the one where Daenerys went bananas?
5.
That was pretty poor, wasn't it? Really.
One and two we enjoyed, as I recall.
Yes, the one where they all chatted before the Battle of Winterfell was good.
Oh yeah, that was really good. Yeah, that
was a rare return to form.
But whereas, obviously, so the last thing we saw was Jon Snow walking in the snow past the wall and that was it, and we were left with probably one of the worst endings to any TV series in history.
I think it is the worst, surely. What's worse than that?
What do you think then about them, because obviously they were talking about doing a Robert Baratheon TV show about the War of the Usurper. Then, you know, there were other ideas about, you know, when the first White Walkers were out there and the children of the forest were fighting along with the first men and all that kind of stuff. They wanted to do that. Then they wanted to do a Jon Snow one, which it seems is going to happen now.
They are going to do that one.
And and then they picked on not just... I thought if they did a Targaryen show, they'd do it from where, you know, the Targaryens come from Valyria and take over Westeros. But they've gone almost halfway through the Targaryen dynasty.
Yeah.
With this.
I think it actually makes it more interesting because we're at the height of their power, which is, I think, we really needed to see that, because obviously we only hear stories of this in Game of Thrones, and I mean, ridiculous. We have, I don't want to, spoiler alert, but we have 10 dragons.
Yeah.
I mean, how epic already.
Dragons are a thing.
It's huge. It's absolutely huge. So, the opening of this already hooked me. And I'll tell you for why. Everything about the opening of this made me think of Game of Thrones early seasons. Yeah. 1, 2, and 3.
Mm.
100%. The visuals, everything felt like early Game of Thrones. And it feels like they've actually listened to the people who enjoy what they do.
Mm.
I think it's dope. But anyway, sorry, James.
Well, there we go. I
completely agree. I think you're right. We may as well get into it. So obviously that opening scene was about Jaehaerys Targaryen's reign and how he didn't have any sons and had to pick between his brother or Rhaenys Targaryen.
Yeah.
No, not Rhaenys.
The daughter.
Was it Rhaenys?
Yeah, I think it was, wasn't it?
Rhaemys.
Hey, to be fair.
That's a title. This is the title. So whatever Jenk says is going to be the title for this.
Okay, come on. I need gold.
Oh, God, this is going to be hard. So So Viserys or Rhaemys?
Yeah.
Is it pretty much that?
Mm. Yeah. Oh, well, I mean, I'd like you to sort of explore a bit more about how Rhaemys could be connected to the Game of Thrones universe.
I think Rhaemys could easily be in this if you thought of it. Like, a lot of, especially, like, he'd be a northerner for one. He'd be a Stark, or maybe he'd be a bit of a Karl Stark kind of thing.
Maybe he'd be dirty as well, wouldn't he?
Would he be a wildling? Who knows? Living in the wild.
Yeah.
He's too sweet though for that, isn't he?
Oh, he's a lovely guy, to be fair.
Yeah, lovely guy. Lovely guy. What is her name?
It's Rhaenys, isn't it? I mean, I've not got it up, but let's have a look.
Yes, a pick between Viserys or Rhaenys.
Rhaemys. It does.
It flows off the tongue.
It really does.
It has to be Rhaemys.
It's Rhaenys. I didn't even think of that when I watched the show. I think it is Rhaenys. Jesus.
fit Rhaenys outside.
Rhaenys. Princess Rhaenys Targaryen and Prince Viserys Targaryen.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's actually Viserys, but it's fine.
Yeah, so Pri, go into the... What about this? Because I think you've hit a very good point already.
Pri,
what
please.
About this opening made you think that... Or made you feel kind of a reflection of those first early series of Game of Thrones?
I actually don't know. I feel like... I haven't got anything that sort of really can say anything hugely about it, but it just... the everything about the cinematography, what we were looking at, immediately felt so detached from what we last saw in season 8. I mean, I don't know whether that's just because we're slightly jaded by season 8 and that... sorry.
You think it's just a blessed relief to have some scope?
Yeah.
Dry-y.
I don't know. It feels like a new start, and because it's in Westeros, everything feels so familiar.
Yeah.
And it, I don't know, it felt like going home. Does that make sense?
It's nice to see the Red Keep, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I enjoyed all of that stuff. And I was thinking about the music as it was flowing by. And I was like, there is so much Game of Thrones in here.
Yeah.
Just ever so slightly tweaked. And it's quite a gamble. I don't know. I was wondering if, like, is the reason they didn't go right back to Aegon the Conqueror and all that, because that is so detached from Daenerys and that. Are they being conscious of dragging fans in who actually did like Game of Thrones, you know, the finale and all that sort of nonsense? Do you know what I mean? And it's, and yeah. and like the music is also like, it's basically Game of Thrones, and like they reference it so much that it's quite on the nose. Like it's just the Game of Thrones theme at the end, for example.
Well, it is,
in the credits. Well, but I'll say it's not great.
That opening music is a sort of like mixed version of the Game of Thrones theme.
It's a remix.
Yeah.
It's a banging remix.
Junkie XL got on the text. Yeah.
I think what we need to realise as well is that this is still Game of Thrones. This is just Game of Thrones House of the Dragon.
Mm.
Which is pretty much like it says on the poster. Like, I don't think we can just call this House of Dragon.
Isn't it House of the Dragon?
Like, I think when the Jon Snow one comes out, it'll probably be Game of Thrones Snow or something like
that.
Snow!
And, I think we're just going to have to admit defeat, that this isn't going to be a completely different thing.
I'm afraid I can't do that.
I like that, though, because, like, I mean...
I like it, reminders of Game of Thrones are not a good thing, surely. It was bloody awful.
It all depends on what parts of Game of Thrones you're talking about.
Yes.
I was the same as Pri, that opening took me straight back to those first couple of series, and I was just like, okay, so we're just getting to know characters now.
Yeah. No.
And I imagine all of that battle, kind of, like, Ten Dragons also scares me.
Yeah.
Because
it's
just like, well, are we just gonna see some big CGI battles where by the end of it we'll just be like, okay, this is all CG.
The CG is very good though, isn't it?
It is very good.
It's markedly better than even The Long Night. I mean, we couldn't see anything anyway, but like but in The Bells or whatever it was, that dreadful episode.
Yeah.
But
we're all a big fan of this opening then, were we?
Are you saying that you weren't? No, I absolutely was. As I'm sort of describing it as I was going through it, because I entered extremely warily, you know, and I was like, oh.
Are you saying, so you were tentative of hearing that music?
Yeah, I was like, how are they going to play it? Are they going to break away completely? Or are they going to hearken back? Hearken to me! Are they going to hearken back? And yeah, it's very interesting. I've actually been watching season 1 of Game of Thrones the last couple of nights. I've just got up to Cripples, Bastards and Broken Things.
I started watching season 1 again just because
it's interesting, isn't it?
Again, it really just made me feel like this first episode made me feel like I was back in those early seasons, as I said, and immediately I wanted to watch more, so I was like, I want to go watch the beginning of Game of Thrones season 1
because you want to get back into the world.
Exactly.
Yeah, and it is that world, and it's like you know, in season 1 of Game of Thrones they had no money, so they had to do a lot of chat and the occasional like one-on-one sword fight, and it's like, if they can cling on to that despite the fact that they've now got all the money in the world, then
I guess that's true. The fact that we're world building, character building, and implementing this start without them having to go all Hollywood with it and
loads of
fight scenes and big explosions and things. Instead, they're going, no, we're going to set the scene, introduce you to these characters, have the first sort of plot line set up. And they do it so well to the point that it doesn't feel like a modern rehash of Game of Thrones that we probably were a bit scared of. Could still happen.
But it could still happen, but
I think as an opening episode, I was very, very pleased.
Yeah.
I mean, as an opening scene, I was very pleased.
Absolutely. A lot of time given to introducing us to the story, you know.
Yeah. Mm.
Really, they're not pulling any punches.
So, I don't know if you guys have watched. Have you seen the animated histories for Game of Thrones?
No, don't think so.
I haven't. I'd like to.
So they're all on YouTube. And there's one of the Targaryen dynasty and their history and stuff like that. Mm. So, and obviously this is based on one of the books that George R. R. Martin preferred to write instead of the actual bloody one.
He should insist on writing.
But so you guys don't know anything about Daemon and
oh no, I do, but from Fire and Blood, which is that book.
Yeah,
that bloody book. I don't know anything.
There'll be no spoilers. Isn't that right, Jakes?
There'll be no spoilers. But, I mean, George R. R. Martin has said that, because this story is actually mentioned a couple of times in Game of Thrones.
It is. This is the Dance with Dragons. That's what it is.
Yeah. By a few different characters. And apparently George R. R. Martin has said, well, the way characters look at it in the Game of Thrones time may not be exactly how it happened.
Yeah. Well, Fire and Blood is written from a number of different people's perspectives, as all the Game of Thrones books are, but like one of them is the Grand Maester, and it's like written as a history rather than as like a story.
It's so like it's an index, isn't it?
Like an index. And another one is like a court it's like a court jester who's like, oh, this happened, and then the Grand Maester's like, no, well, actually this happened, you know. So it's like there's room for interpretation already implied within the text. And there are some things which are slightly different already that we've seen. And like he's borrowing from different stories from across the ages.
Mm.
But he's sort of given himself license to, which is quite clever.
Mm-hmm.
That clever old fool.
Exactly. Mm. So, after all that rubbish that we see in the opening for this,
God,
crap. Hey, boys.
Hey.
Exactly, hey. Exactly. We then realise, and obviously it tells us that. Oh, also, quickly,
what
do you think of Harrenhal?
Oh, I was like, what is this place?
Yeah.
What is this place? I was delighted that it was Harrenhal.
Yeah.
Oh, so cool.
It was vibey, wasn't it?
It really was. Destroyed by the dragons.
It's so nice just not be in one room
in
Harrenhal and actually see a great hall and all of the destruction.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
That was an excellent, excellent touch. It like straight away, I was like, oh my God. They would never, ever, ever in 1,000 years have shown Harrenhal in Game of Thrones season 8.
No.
Not, no, I mean, they wouldn't have dreamt of it.
No, no.
So, good sign.
Well, so Viserys, eh? He became the king.
What's he like?
He became king of the Seven Kingdoms. So, obviously, because what they're trying to set up at this point as well is that he's a male, and Rhaenys was a female, even though she was actually much closer to succession than Viserys was. But the law of the land is a male should inherit the throne. Ooh, already interesting, isn't it? Considering the end of Game of Thrones that we saw.
Exactly.
Ooh. Well, there we go. There we go. Then we come to a different time. How long's in the future is it meant to be? 8 years,
this is
9 years?
9 years into his reign.
Yeah. So 9 years into his reign, it's been peaceful. He's been a good king. From what we know, everybody loves and respects him and stuff like that. But of course, that won't happen for long, would it? Because it's Game of Thrones, boys, you know. you know what I'm saying? You know
Trust
saying?
Me.
So he still hasn't had, Viserys this is, hasn't had a male heir.
Mm.
And he has an eldest daughter. And I've forgot her bloody name.
Her name is Rhaenyra. Rhaenyra. Rhaemyra.
I think it's Rhaemyra, yeah.
Rhaemyra.
Rhaemyra, yeah. Right.
Mira!
Rhaenyra. We kind of follow a bit Siam. More in this in this story. He also has a brother, Daemon.
Yeah, looks weirdly like the 11th Doctor.
Doctor Who. Yeah, great.
Also like Prince.
I was going to ask this, so we may as well get straight to it.
He certainly does. Anyone?
Is this another Stephen Fry?
No, it's not.
It's not.
It's not. I think.
Explain.
That, I want
both yeah. your explanations.
Go on, Fry.
So for me, Matt Smith is nowhere near as annoying as Stephen Fry, like at all. Like not even close. Matt Smith doesn't host QI for another yeah. thing, which it's is true. So distracting. And isn't known to be surrounded by comedians on a chat panel. But Matt Smith is also an incredibly talented actor, and the role that he plays, let's say Prince Philip, absolutely amazing. Really, really, really good. This, equally as good, but completely different. I think he's perfect in this. I didn't really like him as Doctor Who. I will say that.
It's big but stuff.
But he's so good in this, and I think he's very talented.
Yeah.
There you go. I agree with Pry. And yeah, I think it's what we know him for. We know him as an actor, Matt Smith. Mm. Stephen Fry, we know as Stephen Fry. Like, we know who Matt Smith is because he's a very famous man and he's played really big parts very, very well. Whereas Stephen Fry, it's like he played Jeeves.
He was in the Oscar. He played Oscar Wilde.
He played Oscar Wilde and could have had a very good acting career off the back of that because he was excellent. But he chose to host QI.
Hold on, mate. You forgot about Mayor of Lake Town.
Blackadder.
Blackadder.
In fact, we've named like four acting roles. You've only mentioned QI.
Yeah, but he did QI for about 50 years.
Yeah,
and you know,
QI.
Stephen Fry is always in your bloody ear hole, isn't he? Chattering away about God knows what. No, it's a different story.
I think it's also because he does adverts a lot as well. Mm. This is like a big thing, like British TV adverts. And so we're so... He's everywhere. It's tough to...
So would you not say that Doctor Who has had a bad effect on certain actors and stuff like that, and some actors have had a good effect?
I think it's done pretty well for the modern actors. Well, I say that. What's Capaldi done? Oh, no, Capaldi was in that DC film, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's in Suicide Squad. Yeah.
That might have been a misstep, but it seemed like a good idea at the time.
But he played a character called The Thinker. They had, like, implants in his head, and it was very, very weird.
Maybe not the best choice.
Not like a big character, because he died pretty soon.
Don't worry about that.
I think when you look at, say, like Matt Smith and David Tennant, they've had very similar careers coming out of Doctor Who.
What, you mean successful?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But then, I think, like Price says...
What about Whittaker?
Forrest Whittaker?
Yeah.
He's done very well.
That's a Doctor Who I want to see.
Hey, to be fair, you'd be awesome.
I was
in the role, so it's really a bit early to sell.
No. Come on. No. Tell us what you think.
She
only
thinks it's Doctor Who. No, she's not. Fair enough. Christopher Eccleston obviously is, you know, a tricky customer, but I mean, he'll always be absolutely fine. He's a great actor.
Yeah, he gets all the BBC stuff, doesn't he? ITV dramas.
All the BBC stuff on ITV. It's great. They do BBC stuff like no one else.
So you'd say, I think maybe, do you think it's coming from a British audience standpoint that when they see Matt Smith in something, no matter how many jobs he does, that's always going to click in someone's head?
Of course.
That's Doctor Who.
Of course. It's iconic. But I think probably for Americans as well, because, I mean, he was the one that really, I know DT started it off over there, but the Matt Smith era was huge in America.
Yeah.
Properly international. But then, The Crown, I mean, that was amazing. He was brilliant.
The Crown was worldwide as well, wasn't it? Because it was Netflix.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean,
and he was fantastic in The Crown.
Yeah. Absolutely. He was brilliant.
Did you ever watch the TV show Diary of a Call Girl?
Oh, Billy Piper, yeah.
Yeah. Matt Smith was in that as well.
He was in that.
Why have we watched the same thing?
That was a great show.
It was a very good show for many reasons.
For young men.
You know, Harry, would you like to put on Diary of a Call Girl and sit down with me?
Oh, just have a little glass of sherry. Have you seen this? She's very misunderstood.
What goes on in this?
Don't worry about it, mate.
All right.
She works in the call center and it's it's very straightforward stuff.
Have you never heard the name Call Girl?
Yeah, yeah.
Have you heard the name?
On certain TV stations, yeah.
Okay.
Well, I think you understand. Billy Piper plays his character and she's a call girl.
I can't believe you haven't seen it, Pri. You love Billy Piper.
Hold on.
Am I thinking of Jenks?
When have I ever said that I love Billy Piper ever?
You always do. Whatever podcast we do.
Don't you?
I've never in my life.
You
gone,
do, don't you?
I tell you what, I love Billy Piper. And Chris is like, if anyone loves Billy Piper, it's Pri.
It's the most random thing to say.
I could just tell. Do you not love Billy Piper?
Not really. I mean, she's all right.
Who in our friendship group loves Billy Piper? Is it you, Jenks?
I mean, I enjoy her. I don't love her.
Who is it?
It's Dowd.
Who else do I know? It's Dowd.
Sounds like really... Dowd mischief to me.
I really thought it was Pri.
I don't know where you got that from. I can tell you that she... Yeah. She lives near me. I may have said
say
that.
Say no more.
I think you have said this before, actually.
Oh, yeah. That's obviously where I'm getting it from. You moved
this
there
is
because she
a bell.
Lives there.
No.
Have you seen her?
Yeah, I have, yeah.
Yeah, I think we've had this conversation.
We have talked about
this. I think
this is
why he thinks that you're addicted to her.
I think you're cheating on us with another friendship group. And you've but it's like a parallel universe. So you've got one guy that's like me, little Hammond character. You got a Jenks over there with his moustache, and it's like parallel universe, but we're called different things. What would we be called in his other friendship group?
Good question.
JA?
Yeah, he's JA.
He's Yar. Oh, hello, Yar.
Yeah, and I'm Swedish.
What are we talking about this evening? And you're Neb.
No, I'm Bri.
Bri.
Bri's very good.
Oh, hello. Hello, it's Bri. How are you doing?
Oh, hello, Bri.
Chris would be days.
Yeah.
I thought it was just me.
He's the weeks because he's, you know, two-time anatomy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, true. Yeah,
but I can only do like anagrams of people's names. Yeah. That's how I build my friendship groups.
So you'd have Jar and Bri.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the horse of dragons are.
I'm not going to lie to you, boys. That is a real... That's really taken me by surprise. That whole Billy Piper thing.
I can't believe this.
That's the shocker.
I can't believe this. The fact that you've been looking at me for so long and you've been just going, he loves Billy Piper.
Maybe I've not. Who is it? I'll find out. When I find out, I'll tell you.
Billy Piper.
What's wrong with Billy?
Have you never had any communication or seen Billy Piper weeks with your Doctor Who heritage?
No.
Do you want to meet her? She lives next to
me. I know a guy that bloody loves
I've got a telescope.
anyway.
No. Who is it? Never mind.
We really took such a left turn.
That was a detour.
And
but,
went down there for 5 minutes.
Diary of a Call
Girl.
It was about Matt Smith. Yeah. Matt Smith, he's the big casting in this, isn't he? Really?
Do you think, or do you, see, okay. I thought Paddy Constantine was kind of...
Big pants.
In terms of films, Paddy Constantine is such a huge career.
That's true, but he's not around, he's not going to be around for long, is he? We know that.
Oh, he doesn't know that.
Well, I mean, I think everyone knows that.
It's about the
War of the Succession.
He's serious.
Oh,
Weeks.
Doesn't know this.
It's fine. Billy Piper.
Started with Billy Piper and now he's gone on to spoiling it for me. The man who says, you know, thou shall not spoil.
You said
so
no spoilers,
spoiler.
I mean, I don't know if it counts as a spoiler, really.
It does. It does.
I mean, I that's why I said Paddy Constantine, because they're obviously doing the same as they did with Sean Bean.
Well, except this is flagged up from day one.
Nah.
Okay, he's just spoiling everything.
Unbelievable. If you honestly thought that Viserys was going to be like the king throughout and everyone would be fine and happy.
I can tell you now.
Oh, it's a quote. What is it? You're in the wrong place.
If you think this has a happy ending.
My brother and I had a conversation about this after.
Is he the one that likes Billy Piper?
No, can't stand
it. Must
her.
Be one of you. Can't
and,
stand
it. The first thing I said was, he's definitely going to die. But I also like this whole conversation with Weak spoiling stuff, so I can't believe he did that.
He probably won't die.
Do you reckon he's going to live? For real?
I think so, yeah.
Oh,
he'll go to
God.
The wall.
Because I've really like put a lot of, you know...
Well, he doesn't.
My heart into
because it. Because, I mean, Weeks has destroyed... He doesn't.
I was watching... season Game of Wands. And I was looking at the wall and I was like... Oh, that's still there at this point. Well, still there. That's, you know, already there. Isn't that just awesome?
Yeah.
There's a real sense of world building. I hope we see it. Yes, I get some.
I imagine we are. So let's talk about when we sit at the council. It's set up pretty much like all of the councils that we had in Game of Thrones and stuff like that. You've got a maester there. You've got masters of coin, blah, 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 blah. They're all there. And now, Hand of the King, eh?
Hey.
He's got the same little badge. It's really cool.
He does.
We get to meet a Hightower. Now, do you guys know about the Hightowers and stuff?
I don't at all.
He'll be dead soon, mate. Don't worry.
They were
I can't believe.
They were a very great house. They had more money than...
Sense.
The Lannisters. I don't know why they had more money than bloody sense. Look at that, Jesus. No, so they were a very, very wealthy house, a lot wealthier than the Lannisters. Obviously, the Lannisters are around at this time, but they're nowhere near the courts.
No.
Because the Lannisters at this point are a very weak house at this point. It isn't until old Tywin comes in and changes
the
it all up.
Mighty Tywin.
But yes, we meet a Hightower. Now, what was it? What's the?
It's Rhys Ifan.
Yeah, I'm trying to think about the knight, the Hightower knight, the big famous one.
Oh, he's Xenophilius Lovegood.
Yeah.
Luna Lovegood.
Yeah, I see.
That's the one.
They're nervous.
Duncan.
Oh, Sir Duncan the Tall.
Yeah.
It is Sir Duncan the Tall, isn't it?
Is it? What, Duncan and the Egg?
Yeah, Duncan Egg.
Yeah.
What is going on?
Shut up!
So this is a book. To be fair, it's really good. Was it illustrated as well? I can't remember. But yeah, it's the story of Sir Duncan the Tall. And he was just like a lowly guy and fought his way up to being a knight. And Egg was a Targaryen, right? It was Aegon. Egg. And yeah, it was great. It was like supposed to be a children's book and it was...
So from that story, that's the reason why the Hightowers and the Targaryens are so close.
Yeah.
Because of Duncan and the Egg. And
let me look at where that is. Duncan and Egg. When does
Duncan
that come
Hightower.
In?
The Hightowers are from Old Town, Pry.
Okay, cool.
Where the Maesters are from?
Where all the Maesters are from? At this
point. Oh, yeah. Duncan the Tall was Lord Commander of the Kingsguard. And Egg was Aegon the Fifth.
Yeah.
There you go.
So that kind of started off this great friendship between houses. Almost like the kind of fake one between Baratheon and Lannister that we see in the Game of Thrones timeline. But what's his face? Who's Hand of the King? The actual name of the character.
It's called Otto.
Otto? Octavius.
Octavius.
I love Hater. Otto. I'm a big fan of his character.
He's cool. Rhys Ifan is always good value for money as well. And a big name as well, to be fair.
Yeah.
Hang on, I'm still trying to find out. When does Duncan Egg come?
Now, the Hightower's obviously going to have a lot to do.
Careful with
this.
That wording, we.
Whenever you want it to, sometime, if the price is right.
The Hightower's are going to have a lot to do with this. So I'm just trying to carry on.
I love that.
Good.
This is good. Okay, so the question I've got is, are Duncan Egg in House of the Dragon? The answer is no. Duncan Egg are not in House of the Dragon.
Idiot.
The timeline doesn't line up.
I mean, no. This is, what, 100
whoa,
years
whoa,
after?
Whoa, whoa, whoa. No, this is 100 years before. This is big stuff.
100 years before?
House of the Dragon begins in 112 AC, and Aegon the Fifth isn't born for another 88 years. Oh, my God.
Wow.
Wait, hang on. That doesn't make any sense.
This doesn't make any sense at all. Aegon is a descendant of Rhaenyra of Myrissael. So a descendant of Viserys. How amazing.
Well, I got that. I got that fact that I said earlier from New Rockstar. So New Rockstar's absolutely messed this up for me. So
isn't that interesting?
They're wrong.
That doesn't.
Or was it heavy spoilers? Could have been heavy spoilers.
Not again.
Surely not. I mean that's been out for yonks. Dunkin' Egg.
Oh yeah, I love it.
Is there any point in me watching this series? Because I felt like I may as well just sod this off now.
Well, no, but this is the thing, is that because a lot of people know the history already of...
A lot of people do, mate, yeah.
of this story, I think, obviously, it's going to take completely different turns than we thought it was.
Obviously.
And the Game of Thrones timeline is obviously going to be wrong.
Obviously.
Obviously.
yes. Well, that's interesting. Wow, that's taking me
what do we think of the council? What do you think of the council when they're all having chats, look, talking about Daemon? Daemon's not there. He's a bit of a mischievous one, isn't he?
He is. He's roguish. He's roguish.
We've got a Stark on the council.
Nice to see a Stark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, very. I mean, it's cool.
At this point, I was a bit sort of. I didn't really care too much for the council at this point. It's too early days for anything to really set in. So. I was just sort of taking it in at this point, and it was a bit like, yeah, it's all right.
I think the council come into it more when they throw their thoughts on who should be the successor.
Oh, yeah.
A
very good scene. So this is establishing them, isn't it, really, rather than giving them that much to do.
Yeah.
It's establishing what side they're on as well. Yeah. So we then see, they talk about Daemon that he's a bit of a loose cannon. We then see Daemon with the City Watch, and they're going around... kicking down doors, cutting off penises,
I mean, that was the first shocking bit where I was like, okay, we're in Game of Thrones again.
Oh, yeah.
Now I know.
I felt like I hadn't seen that sort of thing for quite a while.
Yeah.
So it really does instantly take you back, doesn't it?
I like their march into the city, though. Do you see their little uniform march?
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Look, he's training them well. You can't.
And they went off
that.
Into little lines. And
yeah,
stuff.
It's really satisfying.
Yeah, very impressive.
This very much reminded me of when Joffrey got the knights, the City Watch to kill all the babies.
Oh yeah,
there's a name for that, and I forgot what it was.
Yeah, what is it called? Can't remember.
But, it very much reminded me of that. The City Watch also look a lot more bulkier.
They do. And they look hench. Yeah. They've got that full armour, and they've got the gold cloak off the side, just looks awesome. Really, really cool armour set.
Another thing which is quite cool is that obviously when the Targaryens reigned, they were a lot more advanced when it comes to armour and swords and all those kind of things. And it's really cool to see.
It's quite high fantasy, isn't it?
Yeah, like especially Daemon's armour.
Daemon.
When we come into the jousting tournament and stuff like that.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, okay, well, we'll talk about that when we get there. But
Robert Baratheon referenced it, didn't he? Because he was talking about Rhaegar and his, like, winged helmet and all that sort of stuff. So, that's quite nice because all the armour we see in old Game of Thrones is quite practical and quite, like, traditional medieval stuff. But we've already been told that it used to be different. So they can take advantage of that world building. You see,
with everything Weeks has just said,
what's that, mate?
I agree. I think that's nice. But do you think it was slightly OTT or not?
No, because we had that lovely. Remember when Tyrion and Ser Jorah Mormont are kind of going through Valyria?
Oh yeah,
and they talk about the Valyrians and the Targaryens and how they were so advanced and how. The people in the Game of Thrones time would never, ever have the technology that the Valyrians had and stuff like that to build all these places. And and like you look at the Dragon Pit when we go into Game of Thrones and it's just all disappeared and gone to rubbish. But then you look at the Dragon Pit when it was at the height of the Targaryen dynasty. It's this beautiful, huge building.
Yeah.
And it's almost like when we come into Game of Thrones, there's almost a suffering because no one really knows what to do. They don't have the technology. They don't have, like, the smithies and stuff like that the Targaryens used and all this kind of stuff. So even when someone finds one Valyrian steel sword, they kick off and it's just like, wow, this is incredible.
Yeah, was Valyrian steel only used by the Targaryens?
Mainly, yeah. It's like their thing, isn't it?
So they do sell it on, but...
They brought it from Valyria and brought it with them, but obviously a lot of it was lost or destroyed in many battles and all that kind of stuff. And
so I'm at this point, would that be much of a benefit in battle over traditional metals? Because obviously...
Oh, yeah, it's still much... It's much stronger and much lighter.
Right, okay.
And it never needs sharpening as well.
Yeah.
Which I think they say in this...
Oh, do they?
I think they're saying this, or I may have seen it on one of the videos on YouTube, but...
Interesting. Pretty interesting, because they obviously... Yeah. It means so much in Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Kill the Whites, and so it's quite interesting to see it used in bulk and like their traditional sort of weaponry. It's really cool to see. I did think, because I hadn't read any other books, that his armour was a bit OTT from an outsider's point of view.
Yeah, it's tricky, isn't it?
I thought that'd be quite interesting to see what you boys thought. It sort of felt like, you know, when you're in an MMO and you just load in and there's like you're the guy in the other armor suit, and then there's the guy that's been playing for like 6 years and he's got like this full black and steel armor, and you're like, oh, I want to have that armor. I kind of had that vibe from it.
Yeah, no, it definitely does have that vibes.
And I think it comes a lot from Daemon's character as well.
It's ostentatious, isn't it? Which is, you know, it's what he does. He's flamboyant.
So Daemon apparently is going to be a bit different in the TV series than how he is in the books.
Smith, isn't it?
The book, but... Well, yeah, they never said he was Matt Smith in the book.
Oh, I don't remember any references.
how Daemon is kind of remembered is this massive, flamboyant, cruel... almost evil kind of person and stuff, and a conqueror. So it's kind of, that's kind of how that character would be anyway. Like, you look at Viserys, he's a pretty chilled out dude when it comes out to just being a Targaryen and looking like a king and stuff like that, whereas, like you say, when someone like when Cersei became queen, and then suddenly all of the King's Guard were in this full black, like, beautiful armour, and she was always dressed in those black dresses and stuff like that, and it was almost a different kind of advancement kind of level and stuff, whereas here it's like, okay, they're Targaryens, we know they're advanced, but Daemon's character is like this. He is just so flamboyant, but also a very brutal kind of person. So I suppose he wants, and Targaryens, when they go into battle as well, it's what they want to be seen. They want people to try and fight them and try and kill them.
And it's that thing that, who was it who was saying, they're closer to gods than men. Like, that's the public perception. So you can see that it does all sort of add up, that Daemon really rides that sort of idea.
Yeah,
he's really selling that whole vibe to the the great
unwashed.
Whereas
Viserys kind of thinks the opposite, like he says to his daughter later on, that that's not true.
Yeah, he's a bit of a realist.
I think that was such a beautiful scene when the conversation really between him and his daughter, and how they talked about the dragons. You know, a Targaryen is nothing without the dragons, and this sort of whole idea that this king respects the dragons in a way that he knows that all their power is from them, whereas someone like Daemon might not. And would see them as a tool and think that he is the god and that they are his, you know, creatures to be used. Really interesting.
And there's a huge parallel straight away. I mean, I've been watching season one, so it's very apparent. But the other Viserys, as in Daenerys' brother, is the opposite. He has no dragons, and yet he thinks he's entitled to everything and is a god. Whereas this Viserys is like, no, I'm nothing without the dragons, you know?
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, it's
wait, it's, but this one doesn't get gold on his head though, does he?
No.
Okay.
No.
Crown for a king. So let's
I will cut that.
Go to the old tournament, shall we? Let's go to the tournament. There's a tournament because Viserys' wife is having a baby. He believes it definitely to be a boy.
Oh yeah.
His wife, which I again forget.
Emma.
Yeah, or Sherlock's sister.
It is Sherlock's sister. That was a dreadful episode. She was the best bit about it.
It's hard to find a best bit about that episode, really, but...
Isn't that amazing? Sherlock, what a fall from grace.
Real. real
fall. Quite amazing. Grace.
But yeah, so she's having a baby and giving birth during this tournament.
Having now, a baby and giving birth.
Doing and both giving at the birth same time.
And jousting.
Look, fair play to her.
They really are multitaskers, aren't they?
Now, I feel like prior, you're going to pick up on this probably more than me and Weeks were.
Oh.
You were probably thinking that in Series 1, when they have a tourney and they go jousting...
The tourney!
The, you know, where they have it...
Hey.
...isn't the most grand kind of thing, whereas here, it's hugely grand.
Yeah. And that's stuff. That was one thing that I sort of noticed, that how... Again, you're talking about the technology of the Targaryens. I didn't really sort of make that connection in my mind at the time, but certainly when you see this jousting arena, it is ridiculous. It's like a gladiator. But
it's very, it is. Yeah. Well, yeah. I think that's the parallel, isn't it, really? It's like the difference between the Romans and then like medieval society. So this is like the Colosseum, as opposed to some like bloody Robin Hood and Sherwood Forest, you know?
Yeah.
It's a world of difference.
It really was that, and because obviously Robert hated the Baratheons so much.
Hang on.
Robert hated the Baratheons?
No. Because obviously Robert hated the Targaryens so much, he very much wanted everything to be completely different. I think the only thing he ever respected was the skulls of the dragons. That's why he never destroyed them.
But he took them out of the throne room.
He took them out of the throne room. But I think... Yeah, it's exactly like you say, Weeks, that there's such a hefty opposite kind of thing being shown, which is ironic because you'd think this is the future and what we've already watched in Game of Thrones is the past.
It's ironic.
I knew it was coming.
It's been a long time.
I saw his lips and I was stop what you're saying, Jenks, give up.
No point.
Carry on.
But yeah.
He's just speaking parcel tongue there. Don't worry about that.
Yes.
I don't know why that made... That's almost broke me.
Oh. Interesting.
But, I think it's really cool. And obviously, the high towers are there as well. There's much money around at this point and stuff.
You can smell it.
There's no wars or anything like that that have been fought. Everyone's got money. I think there's a line that comes from Rhaenys that she's like, all these knights and stuff like that are weak as hell or something like that. They've never been in a real war. I'm really interested to see Rhaenys and her husband. I think they're going to be
She does have a very good line, that one that you were talking about, where she's saying that they're so green that they've never seen war and you know, they're going in basically full of this testosterone bravado sort of thing because they haven't had a serious fear for their lives at this point. They've had life so good in a peaceful time that they haven't known the struggles of war, and that is sort of reflecting in their behavior at this point of being brutal when it comes to the jousting. You know, they finish their joust and they go off and it's not over until someone's had their head caved in sort of thing. Interesting.
Yeah, whereas obviously when we watch it in Game of Thrones, there's just been so much war.
Yeah, the avoidance of like sort of bloodshed is very apparent in Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
As opposed to here.
No, that's very true. Exactly. But yeah, she's fascinating. She's the queen who never was, they call her.
Yeah.
So cool. What a great character.
Again, she's going to play, I think, quite a large part in what happens in the future, because obviously she still looks as herself as in succession.
Yeah, of course.
And she doesn't really care about the other two. So that's kind of quite interesting. I think, again, this Game of Thrones is showing this kind of fight between the female and the male kind of... The female kind of... I don't want to say... Intelligence compared to the male kind of bravado.
Yeah.
There's a line in the actual book, Fire and Blood, that Rhaenys says about if men didn't have a cock, would they want the crown, or would they just disappear and let us take over everything? And it's very interesting. She's gonna be a very interesting character. What do we think of everything. We saw Baratheons that were there. Obviously, Daemon picked the Hightower Knight.
Oh yeah,
to fight in front of Otto, trying to dig Otto. Should we talk about what's the name? Otto's daughter.
Oh yeah, Alicent.
Alicent. Now she is going to be a huge character.
Yes, indeed, she is.
She's going to play a very pivotal role.
Much bigger than you would think at this point.
Yeah, she's Renair. What's her name?
Rhaemyr.
She's Rhaemyr's best friend at this point.
Yeah.
They spend time together non-stop. But obviously Otto, later on in this episode, asks her to spend a bit of time.
Really horrible.
Series.
Hey, come on.
Really horrible.
Read some nice book. What's the ish?
This is quite interesting because just in this first episode, the audience are going to think that.
I did think what we're all thinking was going. He's saying, you know, you might wear your mother's dress and things like this.
Oh,
I was
yeah.
like, oh, God.
I don't know what her age is meant to be at this point.
Doesn't matter.
Just, yeah, good question.
I mean, it's Game of Thrones. Yeah, you're
yeah. 16 or under, I would say.
Bloody hell. It literally makes no difference in Game of Thrones.
Yeah, it's tough to watch that, but then it doesn't end up being as horrific as many of us probably thought.
Exactly. Well, that's why it's quite interesting, because Viserys is this peaceful character. He isn't into that kind of thing.
No, he's not a Robert Baratheon.
He's building his lovely sandcastle.
Gods, I was strong then.
What do you think of his sandcastle?
I mean, to be fair... Amazing.
Rad.
That's how he spends his time. Good for him.
All I was thinking about is he had that little chisel with him. How long would that take? And like, you make one mistake, start again.
Yeah. Amazing.
Terrible. Obviously, Viserys does this tourney because he wants to celebrate the birth of his new son.
Yeah.
He then gets whispered in the ear by Otto that there is a problem going on with the birth. He goes back to find his wife not having the best time in labour.
No.
And the maester gives him an option of either save the baby or they both die.
Horrible again. Absolutely.
This
again,
scene is...
We're thrown into real, like, Game of Thrones brutality here. Like, usually we'd have, like, one
different.
Or two of these scenes in a series.
Yeah.
They threw it all in the first episode. They kind of wanted to shock you back.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but this is even, you know, this is more affecting than the Red Wedding, I think, in a lot of ways.
It is because it's
really?
So much it hits so much closer to home, because this is so much more relatable thing, you know, childbirth, things like that that do have those complications, and there is that genuine worry as a partner where you're going, hold on a minute, do I even want to have a child when it's going to cause so much pain to my partner, things like this. And that's all that was going through my head at the time, was I was putting myself in his shoes and thinking, I can't imagine this. It's the worst situation possible.
It's, yeah, amazing. And I have been in this situation, boys.
Yeah, yeah.
And Lucy was next to me and was in absolute floods of tears, because she was like, this is unbelievable. This is what happened to me, pretty much. Except, obviously, modern medicine is good enough that they're able to do this emergency C and save the mother as well. Mm. But if we were 200 years in the past or whatever, she wouldn't have survived. Isn't that unbelievable?
Yeah.
And they would have asked me that question. I'd have been like, that's do we want, you know?
I
just went out back to his sandcastle.
Oh, let's pop back.
I'll do a towel. Chiseling a ball of sand. What? I don't mind. What's that?
I was half hoping him to go, tell you what, they're just about, it's about the main event on the joust.
Yeah. Oh, tell you what, just hold on.
I booked these guys quite a long time
ago. We need you to make a decision. Oh, yeah, no, just leave it with me. I'll email you Monday morning. There's email apparently. But...
20 gold coins on our boy.
I've got to go. Our boy.
How good is Paddy Considine's performance in this scene as well?
He's great. She's great.
Harrowing. But,
and when he turns back to the maester after like what almost felt like 2 or 3 minutes of him thinking, and turns back and goes, you can save the boy or the child.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh. To be fair, this is a difference between someone like, say, Robert Baratheon, because what's her name went through. She lost the first child.
Cersei
lost her first child, and Robert wasn't even there. Jamie was there, but Robert wasn't even there.
This is a marked contrast between the two.
Whereas here, Viserys is holding her hand constantly. He's watching his wife die.
Yeah. And it's entirely his doing.
Yeah. All just to get a son.
Yeah.
It's barbaric. And he's like, she's like,
that's Winston's chest.
I can't even, but he's like saying, she's asking what's going on. What's happening? Don't do this sort of thing. And he's like, don't worry, we're going to get the babe out. And don't she's worry. Going, please. And I'm just like, oh, I had
to. Yes. It was a bit of a shocker to start with.
It's quite amazing, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, imagine. I don't know. It's the first episode, like you say. So, but we've got enough investment in these characters and their relationship because of the quality of the actors. And the quality of the scenes that they've been given, because they're not done much, really. Yeah. But we know their relationship, we know their history, and they wear it very well and like very clearly. Mm. And so we can relate to it straight away as audience members, and so it does affect us in that way. I mean, it's you know, it's proper depth.
Yeah, Game of Thrones didn't really get there. I was so invested at this point in these characters, and you know, just a bit through the, you know, halfway through maybe more of the episode, but I'm so fully invested in all of these characters. There's not one that I think, oh, that character's weak. I'm like interested in everyone, like watching everyone, and I really care about what's going to happen to them. Mm.
So I think that's probably why you thought it reminded you of those first couple of series then.
Mm, yeah,
absolutely. That has to be it. Because if you had... Weeks, he's just having a bit of a drink there.
Hazy Jane.
Delicious.
But if you had that emotional response after, 45 minutes of watching the first episode in a completely new show.
Yeah, characters we've never met. Yeah,
that just shows... And also, I think the writing is brilliant already.
Yeah.
The writing and the scenes. It reminded me already of... obviously it hasn't got to the heights of where like Viserys and Varys and Littlefinger were always talking and giving away slight secrets about each other, and you're always trying to, it hasn't got to that height, but it's got seen like the council talking again and like
this is the first episode and it's already looking like it's pointing to that direction, as you said, with Varys and Littlefinger. Like, we're getting those subtle hints of this playing out, you know. We see the council, we see these difference of opinions between the council, you know, that certain people have different mindsets. Some people think that Daemon's going to be a good ruler or better, as a lot of people think he's barbaric and nuts, and I love that already, that we're one episode in and there's so much going on, and it's all digestible and it's all understandable and it's horrifying and it's heartbreaking and it's interesting. That's how you open up the series. Please carry on this way.
Yeah, and it has got everything, because there's an awful lot of action, because of course running parallel to this is the brutal slaughter which Daemon is carrying out, isn't he?
Yeah.
So it's blood and blood in two very different ways. One is death and one is like life, you know, seemingly.
Yeah.
But, oh, my God.
Absolutely,
it's full-on Game of Thrones at its best.
So we then go straight to a funeral pyre, where we then see that the child has also died.
Yeah, that, little girl on the child.
Oh, that was a real shock.
Straight away, they're both on the pyre, and it's just, again, the performance. From all of them, actually, the performances and of just staring. That's how you do staring acting, right? That's how you stare at dead people that are on a funeral pyre. Not like in Series 8, Episode 4, where after the Battle of Winterfell, they're all staring and John does that weird speech.
Oh, yeah.
Like, where his voice is just different.
Mm.
And no one's, like, shaken up or anything like that. They're all just staring out. And I think it's only Daenerys where as soon as she, like, walks up to Jorah's pyre and then burns it. But everyone else is just standing there like, it's a normal Tuesday.
Yeah. Oh, it's burning day. Oh, great, fine. Get it done.
But obviously they use the dragon.
Awesome. Dracarys.
Yeah. We hear Dracarys as well from Rhaemir's mouth.
I really like the way that Rhaemir said it as well. It's very, she rolled her.
Yeah, really cool.
Dracarys!
It felt like it was a more traditional way of speaking their language. I thought was really cool to see, and I'm hoping that we get a few more insights into, because you know, like how one accents but also dialects, a lot of different things change over a short amount of time. Mm. There's a YouTube video that goes through the English accent, especially in the south and sort of London accent, how that has changed over even just like a couple of hundred years. And because that sort of could be apparent in this, that really excites me as well.
Yeah, they've done a lot of, like they've created High Valyrian in its entirety. And apparently the actress playing Rhaemir's absolutely loved it and like gobbled it up and was just fascinated by learning it. But Matt Smith was very, very intimidated by it. But they both speak it, you know, beautifully, really. And yeah, very differently to say Daenerys or any of those other people. I suppose because they're across the narrow sea, aren't they? Mm. Like when they're in Meereen and all those god awful places, they all speak it natively, but as you say, very accented, not in the way that the Targaryens would have done.
Yeah. Also a very British cast.
Yeah, it is.
Awfully British cast.
Awfully British cast. Rhaemir's is played by an Australian.
Rhaemir. Oh yeah.
But other than that, I mean,
imagine Rhaemir's.
Who else would you get?
But most of the other cast, or especially the leads, are Brits.
Yeah.
Obviously, very proud of that.
Yeah, my friend was actually an extra in this as well.
Oh really?
Yeah. And I think that he was in the burning scene, actually, because he said to me that, I don't know even if we're allowed to say this, probably it's all right now because it's out, isn't it? But that he had to trek up for about, I think it took about a couple of hours to get up to this hill in the West Country somewhere, Cornwall or something, and spent a whole day on the hill just filming a scene of just standing there. So I imagine that was where it was, because it had that really scenic sort of...
Well, yeah, there's pictures of them on the beach and stuff like that, filming in Cornwall.
Yeah.
Which I think came out ages ago, so yeah.
That's your neck of the woods, mate, isn't it?
But I think it just... Obviously, this is a bias, but this type of language just makes more sense and sounds better coming from a British dialect.
Ah, yes, it's that classic thing. Isn't it? It's the opposite of the Star Wars effect.
Yeah.
The quite literal opposite. Because it's old English style medieval speech. Mm. It feels like
issue with Star Wars is that it wasn't old English. I think that was the issue.
Yeah. It's very, very modern.
It was modern British in a world where you had Alec Guinness and all these people who were speaking in their older British tone. It's
jarring. And that did sort of work, didn't it?
Are you having a go at Ray?
Yeah, absolutely. Rhaemir.
He crops Ray up everywhere, doesn't he?
He's everywhere. I'm the bloody king.
If he makes a cameo, that would be excellent.
That would be fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, God, I could see it. He could be a Baratheon easily.
Oh, he could easily... He could have played Robert.
Yeah, he could.
He could have been a great Robert.
They probably couldn't afford him at the time.
Yeah, probably not.
Had to get Mark Addy. Ooh.
Oh, beautiful Mark Addy. But
he is great.
Yeah, I think we can all agree. Even what's name that played Tyrion Lannister did a British dialect.
Emilia Clarke. Yeah,
That's the one. Emilia Clarke, played by Ray. So as soon as this funeral finishes, we then realise, okay, well, this is it. They need to pick.
Well, we've seen, what about Matt Smith going to the brothel, and because that's just before the funeral, isn't it?
We also we haven't talked about Matt Smith's lover.
Oh yeah,
what's her face and where does she come?
Yeah, this is a sort of a reflection, isn't it, of sort of Tyrion in that sense.
Yeah, that's true, actually, yeah. I can't find...
It's interesting, isn't it? His
Yeah.
Oh, is it Mysaria? Mysaria.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the name of his...
Hey, come on.
Sorry, yeah.
But, they, but they're actually...
Oh, she's a lovely girl.
They're actually very much in love, those two. They're very close.
But he's struggling, isn't he?
He's struggling. He's struggling. And apparently, Matt Smith very much struggled filming these scenes.
I thought these scenes, above all others, are the would be the most difficult for someone who's helmed Doctor Who.
Yeah,
if you know
helmed.
What I mean.
It's also helmed like Doctor Who and also the Queen, the Crown.
Well, but I feel like there was.
Yeah,
I
mean, we saw a similar like, scene in the Crown.
Yeah,
not
yeah.
quite like this.
Andrew, I'm just going into the whole house now. No, don't just, worry, Elizabeth.
It was just Phil and Liz. They had that scene. That,
yeah. You know, it's the deleted scenes, but it's very good. It's very
That's
good.
Fantastic.
Elizabeth.
Yeah, I don't really remember that. I mean, I think more kind of Doctor Who got closer to that when bloody Amy Pond came out as a stripper and he was...
Oh, that was Amy Pond, though. You can't blame that on him.
Blaming
You know what she's like.
I'm not blaming it. But you I remember when be. I was a kid and Amy Pond's character came out and she was a stripper, I was like, that's very adult for Doctor
hey,
Who.
She was a kissogram and you know it.
Yeah, I mean, kissogram is a saying that people used to say in like the 50s and the 60s.
Yeah. Not a stripper.
We have okay. Okay, all right.
What about that Billy Piper, eh?
Oh, I tell you, I know a guy who loves her.
He does. But yeah, I mean, apparently he said these scenes were very, very difficult to do. Obviously, filming them with like 50 people staring.
So and I don't want to go into the intricacies.
It's shredded
too
up,
much.
Annie.
I don't know
he,
if you
he
boys.
Looks great.
I don't know if you boys know the internats, but how on earth...
Okay,
you...
slow down.
No, I'm not going into the intricacies.
Chris has two kids. He's the one you want to speak to, not
You want to talk about the ins and outs.
How would you film something like that? It seems...
Well, why don't you come out?
I'll show you what's what.
It seems like the worst situation to be in.
As an actor, you mean?
Yeah.
You... Well, they wear like flesh-coloured pants, don't they?
Yeah.
Oh,
and the men have to wear... Yeah, I think the girls wear a flesh-coloured thong and the men have to wear, as Emilia Clarke said it, a sock.
You.
Because what's her name? Jason Momoa had to wear a sock during the rape scene.
Must have got a massive sock, right?
That's what she says. You've seen the interview?
No, I haven't. No, I just...
Oh, she says to make... Emilia Clarke laugh, he put on a pink sock and she said during filming this huge pink sock came towards me and then she like puts her hand over it's on Graham Norton and everyone just starts themselves. We all know
he's got
Momoa
big
has,
oh come yeah. on Jason Momoa
big Momoa going on,
that's what they call him.
He does, so fair enough. But Matt Smith on the other hand, we don't know.
Little member yeah
hey
little finger.
Whatever the size it is, makes no difference about the man, does it?
No.
Well said, mate.
Yeah, well said by me. Yeah. So
let's bloody up anyway.
So yeah, he's there with all of the City Watch, and then he does his little speech.
Yeah.
And what's the line that he says? That
well, we don't hear it, do we? We don't hear it in that instance. But he calls the baby. The air for a day.
Oh yeah, the air for a day.
Yeah, today, gone tomorrow.
Didn't go down very well, did it, at the old council meeting?
No great surprise.
And then
Viserys really comes to life in that instance.
Yeah, so Viserys brings him into the great hall.
Oh yeah, can we talk about the Iron Throne as well? It looks awesome.
Yeah,
don't you think? Completely different to Game of Thrones.
It's kind of in between how it's described in the books and what we saw in Game of Thrones.
Yeah, absolutely. Much, much bigger.
Yeah.
But yeah.
What's going on there?
Sorry, my shorts are tangled.
What is that?
For goodness sake.
I need to get you a sock.
but yeah, I mean, I think it's fantastic. I don't know what you boys think.
Yeah, I'm delighted with it. It feels much closer to the insane size of Iron Throne.
Mm. Yeah.
We were promised the prince that was promised. That was good, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, well we'll get onto that very soon. But what did you think about this scene between Viserys and Daemon?
This was unbelievable. Such good acting and the tension. is ridiculous. He immediately enters.
Is this what you boys missed?
Yeah, absolutely. He immediately enters and talks to him like his brother. And he says, you know, you will address me as your Grace and all this kind of stuff. And I was like, oh my goodness, already we're there already.
Serious stuff.
The one little, did you say it? And he's like, what?
No, he says, just, we all mourn in our own way.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
oh my God. Because he doesn't say anything else really, does he? Until like he's told to leave.
Well, at first he's confused before he says we all mourn in our own way.
First I was afraid.
And he just doesn't know what he's talking about because I imagine it was almost flippant when he said it. And so he's like, he doesn't even care or remember about saying it. Mm. And that's what probably enrages the king more. And I think that's so interesting.
And then he calls him weak.
Yeah.
Which is just okay, you've lost this then, really, haven't you? It reminded me of Lord Carstark when he spoke to Rob.
Oh, yeah.
And remember when that all kicked off because Rob wouldn't let Carstark kill the Kingslayer.
Yeah.
And stuff, and then he has to behead him.
Yeah. Well,
that reminded me of that kind of conversation. But yeah.
Well, you have to, don't you?
You just have to. Sometimes you've just got to do it.
Always.
But my God, I mean, just it reminded me a bit of you remember when Alan Rickman and Helena Bonham Carter are in the room together, and it's like it doesn't matter what's going on here because the presence, like that's another thing that Stephen Fry, like I mean, to go back to Stephen Fry and why he's different to Matt Smith, the presence that Matt Smith brings into that room when he says one line. In 3 minutes or something of screen time, and yet you're like, you can just he fills the room with what's going on with the character. Yeah. He doesn't have to do anything at all, and you're like, and you can tell the danger as well. Like you don't think of Matt Smith as a dangerous actor. Obviously, he was the 11th Doctor. He was Prince Philip, and yet you're like, I feel like he might be able to take on the Kingsguard and like go for Viserys.
Yeah.
I don't know
that moment when he moves forward in the Kingsguard just. Like take that step
and
in.
You're I don't know what's going to happen here. Are the city guards, city watch, going to charge in? Or my God, so good. Talk about again, stakes.
Again, this could just like season one. Anything can happen. Yep, all those chats between Ned and Littlefinger and Cersei. You know, you play the Game of Thrones. There's only you either win the Game of Thrones or you know lose.
You lose the Game of Thrones, and
but it's like. All of that kind of tension again is brought back.
Yep. Because you just do not know.
And it's that moment when he obviously banishes him and tells him to go back to the Vale to his wife.
Yeah.
And then the look on his face as his brother walks out and he's holding his sword there and the look on his face is just... you can't even direct that. It's actual hurt, just pain inside him, but fear... And everything all at once, you know. He's at this point. This man has lost his world. He's lost his wife, his child, and now his brother. In this one single instance, and it's like someone saying, "Right, can you bottle that and put that as a facial expression?"
Yeah,
and
that's
he just
it.
Does it.
That's it. You need, you need to all of these, circumstances. I love the way that he sits holding the sword as well.
I was going to say, what do we think of the swords? Because obviously, Daemon has Dark Sister.
Oh yeah, which is like a. You know, dark elf, maxed out level sword.
Yeah,
And it's very cool. Yeah. But he's got like a crusader sword up there on the throne.
It's a long sword.
What's his sword called?
Oh, I'm not sure.
Because Dark Sister's the famous one that was lost.
Yeah. But isn't that awesome? Or it's like the stuff of legend already. But
what is it?
Have you found it? Have you found it, son?
This is good. People listen to this at home. Really good.
Oh, no, it's all about Dark Sister.
Oh, yeah, Dark Sister, yeah. It's a band, isn't it?
Everyone talks about Dark Sister.
No, it's all about the Blackfyre Rebellion.
Quick, weeks play song, quickly.
Oh, no, it was
I mean, the swords just look...
Oh, no, the song was called Blackfyre that was Egg on the Conquerors. It can't be that one, is it?
No. No, the Blackfyre is another Targaryen civil war.
Oh, no, that's a different thing. But there's also the sword, which is called Blackfyre, rather than the... Is it? No, it can't be. I don't know. I'll come back to you.
Yeah, we'll come back to it. But, I mean, the swords just look badass. That throne room just looks
so good.
Badass. All of it. So we then come to this... so obviously Daemon then leaves, is with the dragon, and Mysera comes up to him, and I can't remember, does she leave with him?
Did she leave with him? I don't know.
I can't remember if she's on the dragon as well.
Oh yeah, she does. No, she comes up to him while he's petting the dragon and then puts her hand up against the dragon as well. So yeah, I think they go together.
They may go together.
But is there... is he allowed to take this dragon? Or is it...
Yeah, good question.
Well, I think that's another thing that's probably going to be picked up on, because they're meant to be in the dragon pit anyway. That's where they live.
It sort of seems like they would notice if someone was going out on a dragon and not...
Hang on!
We're one down!
It's hard to say, isn't it, really?
I think a lot of it will obviously be answered in the next episode. Yeah. But he leaves, and then we get this final scene.
Is this the pussy back, or have we not done this?
I think it is Blackfyre, you know. Sorry, have we done coming back.
Have we done the pussy back or not yet?
Oh, old pussy back, yeah. That's what they call him.
So old wet lung and pussy back.
So that's known as a curse between some kings, isn't it? That the throne stabs them.
As his brother leaves, he gets a little nip off the blade.
He gets a wee prick, doesn't he?
But that's it. They say you can never like sit easy because it's gonna get you. But I mean, it's grayscale, right?
I mean, this is the thing: is that a lot of people...
It looks a lot like grayscale.
People would have been saying
looks like a pussy bag to me, mate.
No,
but surely if anyone knows grayscale, it's going to be Targaryens and Targaryen maesters.
Yeah, you would think so. So like
maybe he's lying about it though, the maester.
Oh, well, he does know. He didn't seem to be, you know.
Well, he was taking advice from his assistant about cauterizing it.
We all do that.
It was a weird bit of dialogue, to be honest, that one bit where he's like, perhaps we should cauterize it. Yes, let's cauterize the wound. And it felt
don't cauterize it.
Yeah, true, actually, yeah.
It's a bit strange. So yeah. I don't know what's going on there. Maybe that'll be revealed. We don't know.
Yeah, well, I think it definitely will be. But will he get that far that it will...
I feel like there's going to be like some sort of, you know, pardon the obvious pun, but some sort of backstabbing going on here where the maester's working alongside someone from the council in order to not tell him about his true ailment in order to get a new king.
Possibly.
But...
Yeah, I haven't actually. I hadn't thought of... I know a lot of people are saying on YouTube that it could be grayscale.
Yeah, I'm one of them.
But you'd think that what
you're on YouTube.
If the maesters are like touching it and everyone's kind of in the room just hanging out.
Well, but they were touching it with like scalpels, weren't they? And it looked like Samwell's pie. You remember that?
Yeah,
I remember his pie. All right.
Gods, I remember that pie. Gods, it was tasty then.
But so then we get this this final scene where Viserys is standing in front of Valerian the Dread, his skull, and again, it still just looks epic. Weirdly, as a skull, you can tell that it looks a little bit... What's the word? It hasn't been dead for as long as it had in Game of Thrones.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah, so it's slightly more preserved because it's not as aged.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know the word for it, but Pryor's is better.
Walking thesaurus over here, yeah.
That's what they say.
So then Rhaemyris comes in and Viserys tells Rhaemyris that... What are you looking at, Pry?
Sorry, just something came up saying software update, and it's trying to update my Mac right now. I'd rather it...
Oh, no.
Can't have that. Say later. I always put later.
Well, the thing is I did do try tonight, and it's now tonight, so it's just doing it. So I'm not going to put in the password, and I'll just continue.
Good man. Good man yourself.
Good for you.
So yeah, then Viserys tells Rhaenyra that she is now the heir to the Iron Throne, and we get, like we said earlier, these beautiful lines where he talks about people think Targaryens are gods and stuff like that. So we've talked about that already. Now, what about this foreshadowing?
Yeah, let's talk about this.
Now,
so how on earth? So they say that it's written in text, that it's almost like a prophecy.
Yeah, this is a dream that Aegon had, which is a reason that he invaded Westeros.
Now, I know about... I mean, we all know why the Targaryens came to Dragonstone.
Couldn't bloody help it, could they?
They came to Dragonstone because they saw, apparently, what's-her-face... What's her name? One of Aegon's sisters...
Catelyn Stark.
Yeah, that's the one. Nymeria. There you go.
Rhaenyra.
Yeah.
Rhaenyra had a vision that Valyria was going to be destroyed by the Doom.
Yep.
Which obviously was a volcano. And that...
It's all very Atlantis, isn't it, boys?
Valyria was going to get completely destroyed. So the Targaryen house decided to leave Valyria, go to Dragonstone, and then obviously Valyria was completely destroyed. And then, so yeah, and then apparently there's another vision of a Song of Ice and Fire.
Mm.
I mean, this, I loved it whilst watching it. It gave me like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. Was the prince, I mean, I know the prince, have you seen the trailer for the next episode?
Nope.
No.
Nope.
So, the...
No.
No.
The sentence.
No.
You've had enough.
I've spoilers said it already.
For tonight.
You have spoiled so much of this show already.
But a sentence is said of... Well, the prince that was promised is said in a sentence in the next
episode. I'm not going to watch it anymore. I've had enough.
But, you've I mean, again, this. It's just carrying on from a song that Viserys mentions, A Song of Ice and Fire, and this great power from the north will come and try and destroy...
Samwell Tarly, isn't it?
He's a big lad.
Great power from the north.
But the thing is that, okay, so if we're being told about all this kind of stuff, which obviously we already know.
We already know.
He says a Targaryen has to be on the throne for when this happens. Why isn't more of this talked about?
What do you mean? Because it's a wild retcon.
In Game of Thrones, like in... the south, because if he's just talked about it and Viserys and Rhaenyra's know about the Song of Ice and Fire and know what's going to happen, surely when Samwell writes the book and says, oh, it's called A Song of Ice and Fire, someone comes up to him that works in Old Town or is in a mason and goes, bloody, that's weird.
Oh, well, bloody hell, Harry.
I was just reading in one of these books.
No. Well, he says that it's passed on from heir to heir and that's it.
Yeah.
No one else knows.
And he says, you must keep the secret.
So the Mad King presumably knew, and then he went mad and he didn't tell anyone. You know how it
was. Foolish.
Burn them all!
See, I feel like that's going to... We're going to find out more and more stuff about the Mad King. Well, in terms of... So we know that there's definitely going to be 6 series of The House of the Dragon.
Do we?
Yeah.
6 series?
Yeah, so that's been confirmed.
Oh my God!
They're planning on making 6. So
I mean, fair play.
People are wondering whether the first couple of series are going to be set in this time, and then we're going to go more forward in time through,
like, the Crown,
exactly, through different kind of Targaryen dynasties and stuff. Until
that would be
we
awesome.
Get to the Mad King and finish with the Mad King.
I'd be all over that.
So then it all kind of ties in,
except for Game of Thrones.
Yeah. Someone mentioned on YouTube that the burn them all kind of stuff was that he lost his mind and was shouting about burning them all and all this kind of stuff and, you know, killed Ned Starks and Northmen and stuff like that, that he was worried that the Northmen were the ones that were prophesied that would come in this great winter and destroy everything.
That is cool.
And maybe that's why he was screaming burn them all and then he finally lost it and just wanted everyone to die and kind of
but
stuff.
Then... They also predicted that Bran would warg into, you know, would time warp and warg into Aerys and drive him mad in the same way he did Hodor.
Yeah.
And did that happen? Did it, boogery?
No, that was another way. I mean, I'm happy about what happened to Bran's character. You know,
to be fair, really he earned that.
Come on.
But yeah, what do we think about this final scene then? Of
beautiful. I bet it's beautiful. Of course, it's beautiful.
Weeks thinks differently.
I thought it was great, but I think the Song of Ice and Fire thing. I'm like, no. What are you doing? Leave it alone. Don't try and jam stuff in that doesn't belong. I don't buy it.
What, you think it was almost like a kind of keeping the fans to watch the second episode kind of thing?
I don't know. It's a bit like, for one thing, we know exactly what happens. Mm. Don't remind us of the awfulness that happens in season 8, because that's what they're describing.
Yeah.
I don't, like, what's the point in foreshadowing something that everyone's already seen? I don't get the narrative point. Like, all of the air stuff, I'm like, yes, wonderful. All of the Targaryen stuff, I'm like, wonderful, world building, fabulous. But then I just don't get linking it back. It doesn't make any sense to me at all.
I feel like this is something that will probably be explained a bit more during the series, and I feel like
they wanted to
have this thread, this constant thread that goes through both. And exactly,
I can't do it.
He's a bit weak. That old damp lung that he's got going on.
You.
Yeah, hopefully anyway. Otherwise, it's just... it shouldn't be a throwaway thing. And if it isn't the detriment...
Well, it seemed like a really big deal when he was saying it. Yeah. Like, really, really big. It just makes me think, you know... Ugh, I just want... I want season 8 to be remade.
Well, I don't... It has been remade. No.
Shut up!
What I didn't understand, though, why didn't he just mention, also, this has already happened before and it was called The Long Night and we know how they were defeated?
We've been here before.
Like, they know. The Long Night's already happened.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, how long ago is that?
What, like 1,800 years before this?
Well, that's a long time.
Yeah, but how come bloody, what, Bran's nan? Nanny that had to look after him told him bloody stories.
She was old though, wasn't she?
She wasn't 1,800 years old.
What, did you see her? Jesus.
Bloody hell.
She was already decomposed.
The maesters have histories on it and stuff like that, and people...
I like the way that it's been kept a secret for 1,800 years, but been shared among nannies and babysitters. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly.
Only old nans, as soon as they get past their 80s, are told, let me tell you about The Long Night. How old are you? 79. Not yet.
Nearly.
Not yet.
I have a story to tell you very soon. But that's what I was kind of confused at. Like, you're bigging it up that this is something that's never happened before, almost. And it's like, this is a known thing.
In The Long Night, the children of the forest defeated them, right?
Well, with the help of the first men.
Yeah, yeah. But they... The first
and
men...
And women...
Oh, thank you. The first men are different from the Targaryens, obviously.
Yeah, I know, but it's still a legend of Westeros, isn't it?
Yeah, but...
That's why there's a bloody wall.
Well, yeah. I suppose that's the difference. Like, it wasn't... Like, this is going to be the thing that breaks down the wall and, you know, the Night King and all that sort of nonsense. So it's a concerted effort to conquer the world.
Yeah.
Whereas that was like, you know, it all went dreadfully wrong when they converted that Stark.
Mm. Also, what are we thinking about a Godswood in King's Landing?
Hey, I'm all for it. Each to their own. It's 21st century. Well, I might get a Godswood here.
I didn't realise that the Targaryens believed in the old gods.
The old gods and the new.
I thought they believed in the new gods. That's why they've got a Baelor and like...
But they do make that pledge, though, when the witnessing of the new heir... that they say on the old gods and the new, don't they?
That seems like that's the modern way of doing it, and it's already time for that. Ain't got time for that.
Interesting. Very interesting. But then obviously the episode, how does it end? Does it end in anything big, or did it just
then
end up?
Obviously,
they all swear allegiance, don't they?
Yeah, it's that scene, but
it is awesome to be fair.
The last person was what's-her-name Baratheon, and apparently there's a big thing about his character.
Bottomond.
He looked a bit hesitant.
Because it's the blacks and the greens, isn't it?
Oh, my. I'm sorry. It's green and blacks, mate. It's delicious chocolate.
No, what obviously is about to happen in the future. I don't want to give anything away to pry.
Oh.
But
just switch this off now.
It's about the green and the blacks and
you're ruining this, aren't you?
And what happens, and that's why he's the last one. He's a Baratheon, and Baratheons have stuff to do with stuff, and then stuff will happen. And
okay.
But we've come to the episode of that end.
Well, thank goodness for that, because it was getting dodge.
And there we go, right? The opening episode to House of the Dragon. So,
and spoilers for the rest of it as well. There you are.
You don't need to watch the next episodes now, because we pretty much told you what happens. Hey, that's not our fault. That's bloody George R.R. Martin's fault for like bringing out this book.
Yeah.
Before even finishing Game of Thrones.
I mean, I feel relatively lucky because it came out in like 2018, and I think I read it then, and I've not read it since, and I'm not going to read it until this is all over.
Because it's awful.
I think it's all over.
Yeah.
Because it's bloody awful. No, because you know, I want to still be... I vaguely remember what happens, but I want to be taken by surprise, as always.
Yeah. Well, so do I. That's been spoiled for me.
I think we're going to be hit by a lot of surprises anyway.
Yeah.
Oh, no, we're not.
Like Viserys making it to the end of the series. Guaranteed.
The annoying thing is that it's almost like I haven't been able to watch Game of Thrones from the start of a show where I don't know... Like, when I started watching Game of Thrones, I think the end of series two had just finished and I just started watching.
Oh, yeah.
So I had to go back to the start. So obviously end of series three, actually, I started watching. So obviously people were talking about the Red Wedding and...
Yeah.
No, I'm talking rubbish. Oh, yeah. Talking rubbish. It was the books people that were telling me.
Oh, yeah, that was me.
Series 1 had come out, and Series 2 was coming out, and I had to go back, and then people were saying, oh, get ready for the Red Wedding.
Oh, get ready for the Red Wedding. I was a late starter to the viewings and had all of that you just mentioned.
Yeah.
And it was really tough, but I'm not going to make that mistake again.
No, no spoilers on this podcast.
To be fair, I can't remember any, other than like one huge moment that Wix has already like let out anyway.
I've not said anything. Only the most glaringly obvious thing.
I can't wait for something for us to review something that I know more than you two about. I'm going to spoil so much stuff.
About all the Marvel stuff. Oh, when are we doing She-Hulk, by the way?
Yeah, we're not going to do that. No point. But in the future, there'll be some other. I'll tell you what, there's a mini series.
When the next Loki comes out.
I am Groot. Oh, there you go.
We should do a little one on the Groot episodes. I found them fun.
They were really fun.
See them. Don't spoil them. Please.
He dies.
He's dead.
Oh,
he doesn't make it to the end.
Oh, God.
Wow, yeah, he's just got this little wound on his back. Yeah. But we've come to the end of this episode, which means we're going to do something that we haven't done in a few months.
And this is relevant.
Oh. Yeah, and it's actually relevant, something that happened. That
what is it?
This week came out.
Well, I'm also saying that the way that we grade said things is relevant. Yeah, yeah.
That's a
good. Oh my God! It is.
Yeah.
Full circle.
Wow.
We're gonna go to the old Dinkles, and I'm going to Pryor.
I thought he was gonna give his score.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're nervous, weren't you?
I'm giving this. This is a strong 4 for me.
Oh, wow.
This is a nice strong 4, and I think that's fairly placed. I don't really have anything that I would mark it down on. Again, for me, it's just so difficult for an entry to be a 5. It can't really be there unless I had some, you know, prior knowledge of what's going on. Now
some prior knowledge?
Exactly.
Hey! Do you think also... Again, I hate to always bring it back to season 8. Do you think that has also had an effect on your score?
No. It had an effect before I started watching it, because I didn't even want to watch it. And as we said,
amazing.
It was like a week before, and I was like, well, I probably should. And I'm so glad that I did. So it didn't affect it, because I'm treating it as something different and hoping that they've learned from certain mistakes and that perhaps... Season 8 was just a child of rushed decisions and
perhaps Jesus,
but that's my score.
Good for you, man.
So a 4 to start us off there. Let's go on the other side of the court and Hello. Pass the ball over to Mr. Christopher Weeks.
First of all, I think we should have a section called Prior Knowledge. When Prior just lays out a whole load of facts.
I like that.
Why don't we have little mini sections like that? Little fun.
I'd love that.
Yeah.
We should... I think in like the past couple of years, we've tried every few months to try and sort this out. And it always ends up...
What are you talking about? What are you talking about?
We've never done Prior Knowledge.
No, that's great.
I mean, just find different sections to go through, unlike podcasts and stuff like that, and make it a bit more...
We do podcasts, to be fair.
Clinical. See?
We need jingles as well. We thought about doing any jingles.
I haven't got the time.
We've got one to open this.
It's a good one, to be fair. We recorded it in Scotland.
What do you got?
Obviously, I was very nervous about this. Very nervous. I like Pry. Yeah.
And you like Pry? You're nervous about this podcast, and I like Pry.
I'm surprised. Jinx, though.
Yeah. Imagine if I didn't like him. How would I feel then? I don't even know. But I was, you know, I didn't follow the trailer or the information or anything like that. So, but then all the reviews started coming in. I was like, oh my God, could this be? And it looks like it is. And I'm so excited. And with that in mind, I'm going to give it 4 sweet dinkles and a little berry on top as well.
Wow.
Because 4.5. There's no bad performances. I think everyone is absolutely awesome. The world is built beautifully. I'm incredibly invested in the overarching story and the characters' stories. And it just feels like, you know, it feels like the best of Game of Thrones. So it's not 5 country yet, but I feel like my God, what have they got up their sleeves?
Yeah,
those brave lads. So that's me, boys. 4.5. Oh, 4.5 weeks they call him.
And they do call him that. Interesting. I think I'm gonna have to go with an old 4.5 as well on this.
I think there
wasn't one part of it that I like genuinely disliked or anything like that. I thought all of it was fantastic. The Song of Ice and Fire bit, I was just like, oh
yeah.
That kind of knocked me a little bit. I mean, that's probably why it's gone to a 4.5.
I'm going to give that a pass for a couple of weeks to see if it... Otherwise, I'll revise this down to 4.
Yeah. But other than that, I loved this. I loved it. And I suppose it's also kind of... I just love that first half of Game of Thrones. Those first 4 series and a little bit of the 5th and a little bit of the 6th were just awesome.
Yeah.
Were just... like the best TV ever made, and this episode was like all of that put into one.
Yeah,
and it was fantastic world building, very character cool. building, and just
it like just gives us hope for the future of the series when you have such a 100%. Banger to start with.
And also, how much better is it to watch 2 people fight rather than that actually have like what's the word stakes rather than a battle that doesn't really mean anything.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like that, it's so much better to be like when Daemon's fighting.
Hightower
and stuff, and
High Pockets.
High Pockets Duncan. Like it's already you're so invested in it, and then he gets like his sword is like taken off him and stuff, and he's beaten, and it's just like, oh wow. Already you can see that his character is formed through these things that we're seeing. It's just like, yeah, this is sick.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, yeah, so that's got to be a 4.5. Closing statements, boys, anything?
Actually, something we...
Oh, I bloody loved it.
Okay. Something we haven't talked about, which we really should briefly, is who the showrunners are.
Yeah.
Because it's not Benioff and Weiss. Anymore. It's the 2 guys who helmed the Battle of the Bastards.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Isn't that interesting? And they won an Emmy for it as well. I'm going to look up their names very quickly. One of them is called Miguel. I know that.
Oh. So they've really gone for their strongest suit right here. They've gone,
yeah.
We're not going to mess around. We had a lot of backlash. Let's get the big boys in.
Yeah, I mean, it's exactly that, yeah.
That so it's very much annoyed D&D that the people that have been hired are the people that were hired for one episode of the most successful TV show ever.
They need to stay away, though, those two.
Those guys haven't been asked back. We're going to bring back the people that did that one episode.
Yeah, that, you know, one of that incredibly well-received episodes.
Yeah.
What about all the other stuff that went there?
No, we're not going to think
about that, really. We're going to forget all about that. So their names are Ryan Condor and Miguel Sapochnik.
Okay, Ryan Condor has got to be the coolest name in the world.
Ryan Condor.
Also, Miguel is just a sick name.
Good old Miguel. And he directed this first episode, Miguel.
Oh, yeah, he did. Also, George R. R. Martin's a lot more involved in this, isn't he?
Absolutely, yeah. So it's created by, listed here, Ryan Condor and George R. R. Martin.
Sick.
And but it's Miguel and Ryan Condor who are the showrunners.
Yeah.
Interesting. And Martin has been very vocal about this show in a way that he was very detached from Game of Thrones, really. Yeah. He was just sort of watching it and, you know, offering opinions but having no control. Whereas this, I mean, the so it's got the production companies listed. It's Bastard Sword, 126 Pictures, and GRRM. Those are the three companies. So it's his company. I mean, it's a different story.
I think that kind of shows us that he was obviously not very hurt, but very affected by those last two series.
100%. Well, I mean, it's his legacy, isn't it? Yeah. Really, more than anyone else.
And I saw an interview of him talking about it that he didn't name specific names, but he was talking about when his characters are completely written differently for TV than they are in the books. And he said the only one character in this series that's written differently is Daemon.
Mm.
And he loves the character more in the TV series than it is in the books. And he says
that says a lot, doesn't it?
Everyone else is fantastic and they've stayed completely to the books other than Daemon. And I completely agree with what they're doing, which is like, okay.
Yeah. I mean, great.
Wow.
And I imagine he'll come in and do some script and stuff like that already has. Yeah.
I'm sure.
Cameo.
Yeah, cameo.
Less of that.
I mean, so many people would be angry. Like, this is what you're doing.
I think
you're
it should be
cameos in your own bloody show when you need to finish your books.
I think it should be
bloody room.
It should be him, George Lucas, and Brian Blessed all together just jiggling their chins.
What a trio! That's a TV show right there.
That really is, yeah.
Bloody hell! I mean, so many people are already angry at him for. Oh, also, I didn't mention this, but the opening to this episode felt very much like a Lord of the Rings film opening.
Yeah, it was the helicopter sort of pans that were big and huge,
and the voiceover of kind of again the female voiceover as well, which is quite cool.
You can
see that he still is like addicted to Tolkien.
Oh, absolutely, yeah, absolutely. And he's stated, going back to Rings of Power, which I referenced at the beginning, as I'm sure you remember.
You did.
You know, he's talking about the competition between the two, and he has said himself that he sees absolutely no competition. He is incredibly excited, and that this is like the age of the fantasy geek
as
at long last.
It really is.
It's great.
It's amazing.
Like, you think about it now that Marvel is fully fledged and is bringing out non-stop content, then you've got Game of Thrones bringing out a whole new series and announcing new series now.
Yeah.
All the Star Wars series that have been announced or being released all at the same time. Then there's a Lord of the Rings series that's been released at the this is the height of everything.
Yeah, but this will be in history as like the age of the geek. We are being absolutely spoiled and it's wicked to see. Finally.
God.
I'm very excited. There's going to be a lot for us to talk about. Obviously, we'll be doing the next episode of this before we talk about the Ring of Power. That's on the 2nd of September, isn't it?
Yeah. So it'll be it'll probably be Rings of Power after episode 2 of this, won't it?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Just before we finish this episode, I want us to, because obviously we're going to have to do comparisons. We're going to have to.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to have to pick which one we liked better or enjoyed better. We're gonna have to do that. So now we've seen this episode, and obviously this new Lord of the Rings series is coming out. Just before we get into the real brunt of us talking about both of them at different times in the week and stuff like that, and bringing out podcasts side by side, which one do you think you're going to enjoy more? I'm going to put my hands up first, and I'm going to go, I think I'm going to enjoy House of Dragon more.
Right. I'd agree with you on that.
I mean, so would I. But at the same time, obviously, we've not seen Rings of Power, and everyone seems to be raving about it. I don't know.
But do you not
I really
think,
hope that it's close.
Do you not think, though, that the Lord of the Rings films were all 5-star films? You cannot beat that. It doesn't matter how good this series is.
But I wouldn't say that this series is defined like this series. I think it's worse in a way to come from Game of Thrones because...
But see, that's what I'm saying is that Lord of the Rings was a star, fantastic. If the Rings of Power make one little error or one little thing, everyone's going to jump on it so much harder than they are going to with House of the Dragon, because they're going to go, well, nothing is going to be as bad as...
Maybe, but they might just be like, well, this is going the same way as Game of Thrones then.
But I think you've also got to remember, although I know you boys don't like to, and that this isn't following... We have had something between Lord of the Rings releasing and Rings of Power.
Have we?
We obviously had the Hobbit trilogy, which most people were very displeased with, as Jenks has just sort of stated there. So are we... Is that fresh on people's minds? And we're now, you know, that'd be a good thought.
Yeah, very true. That has sort of been forgotten a little bit in the run-up to this new series. Everyone's only talking about the original trilogy.
I think it's just because it's so... I mean, it's like we were talking about the first half of the Game of Thrones series. It's the same thing. Lord of the Rings was a star. The first 3 or 4 series of Game of Thrones was a star.
Well, I think, to be fair, that The Hobbit is more detached from the Lord of the Rings universe as opposed to Lord of the Rings is with Rings of Power. They're quite connected in a lot of ways. Yeah. Whereas The Hobbit is sort of its own story, of course, in the same universe and everything like that. But it's a bit more detached, I'd say. So maybe that's why, but yeah.
I really hope that I like Rings of Power. It feels a little high fantasy for me, but we shall see. Maybe it'll win me over.
I still feel like there's so much more pressure on Rings
there's
of Power.
I think, my God, there's a huge amount of pressure. But then again, the rights to the originals have just been bought as well, haven't they? So they're going to be bringing out all sorts now. Just have to hope that this one's as good.
I don't know. I think there's... this is a great thing for us, is that probably they're probably now the two most famous medieval fantasy... I almost want to call them genres now.
Yeah.
Game of Thrones and Lord of the Rings, they're their own universes.
They are, absolutely.
So to have them go head-to-head at the same time, which is pretty... Like, everyone may be excited, and George R. R. Martin may say, oh, I'm just really excited to see Rings of Power because I love Tolkien. But his shows are going to be put against each other.
I mean, they're directly head-to-head. It's amazing. Yeah.
And I know that it wasn't actually planned out to be that. A lot of people have said that has just been a happy accident.
Oh, really?
Or an unhappy accident.
Yeah.
But, I mean, my God, this is going to be absolutely huge. These next 3 months are going to be an absolute battle. I'm buzzing for it, actually, as we're talking about it. I'm really buzzing.
Yeah, it is
a
huge 3 months for us.
I think I am going to go House of Dragon on this.
What would you have said before this episode, do you think?
I think I still would have gone House of the Dragon.
Interesting. So it's lived up to expectations in that regard.
Yeah, I just think I'm... Lord of the Rings are my favourite films, my favourite everything. And if I watch one tiny bit that slightly disagrees with me, I feel like I'll go, yeah, this is terrible, the end. Which is probably a bad way to look at it, but...
Hey, I'll fight you to the bitter end, possibly.
And also, bloody Lenny Henry's in it.
Yeah.
Like, come... Already, I'm like,
it's a bit Stephen Fry, isn't it?
That is a... I mean, he literally does premiere in adverts. That is a perfect example.
How can you put Lenny Henry... What do you think? You spend... It's the most expensive... They spent $500 million buying the rights alone. Mm. And they go, oh,
that's why they got Lenny Henry.
we haven't got any money left. Yeah. Who can we afford? All I've got on this street is Lenny Henry.
He's not doing Premier Inn ads this year.
No, but he still gets discount on accommodation. So
yeah.
Put the actors up. Lovely.
We'll sort that out.
If the only reason he got it was that he had to sort a deal for the cast and crew.
Yeah.
Look, and I'll get you beds that you can just slowly fall back on with your arms.
Really soft. Really soft.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, guys. Cheers, Amazon. I mean, again, also, because this is Amazon as well, so this is Amazon's version of the Lord of the Rings world.
Mm.
Have any of you guys watched the trailers?
Yes.
Yeah.
I haven't watched one.
Oh, wow.
As soon as they start, I just go off it, because I'm just too nervous.
It is nerve wracking.
What are your thoughts on the trailers, obviously, before we do the first episode next week?
Mixed for me.
For me, it's another don't really care that much at this point, and that sounds awful, but
yeah, I'm getting more excited with the positive reactions that I'm seeing, similar to this, to House of the Dragon. There's a nice bit in one of the trailers where you're like, oh my god, it's Cate Blanchett. Because she really does look like a lot like her in certain lights, but like a younger version. It's like, oh, yeah, great casting. I just hope they've got the chops. Because in this, we've got actors, as in like some of the best actors in the world.
Yeah.
And we've already, like in episode one, we've seen them just blowing the doors down in terms of acting quality. Yeah. Whereas, who are all these noobs? And Lenny Henry. It's like,
Right, that's the best review of a pre-release of Tin. Who are all these noobs and Lenny Henry?
That's such like a 2005 RuneScape insult right there. Jesus. Just going off to Varrock right now, just going to try and sell some shrimp. Look at all these noobs.
Yeah, tell him about the Lumbridge, mate.
Yeah, mate, see you in a bit. I'm ruining up, boys. I'm going to go mining, going to get myself some ting, some new armor, why not? Level 15, yeah, boy. That's interesting, though. What do you mean about high fantasy?
I mean the World of Warcraft feel.
Yeah.
Right. Over the tradition, not traditional, like the opposite of what Lord of the Rings, the trilogy did, which was very, very grounded.
Would you say The Hobbit was high fantasy?
It was still similar to Lord of the Rings.
So the opposite of high fantasy is being basically like, if you imagine the scene in Bree, for instance, so this could legit be a place in history and a time in history, and everything is plausible. High fantasy is like in huge elven kingdom most of the time, and lots of bright lights and, you know, stuff like that.
Like Lothlorien kind of vibes.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know, gaudy and huge armor and, you know, looking fantastic, as in fantastical.
Yeah.
Instead of grounded. And that, like, the Peter Jackson thing, his thing was he wanted to have an absolute response to it, which was, it was supposed to be an alternate history that Tolkien wrote for the UK. And he wanted to reflect that by really grounding it in reality.
And do you
Which
think,
is what they didn't do at the time.
Do you think that Amazon are going to push more of that high fantasy thing then?
I think they will a little bit. And I think it's going to be okay because it's Numenor.
Mm.
And it's a bit like the Targaryens. It's supposed to be that more ostentatious side of the world. So I think it is going to go that way, but only a little bit. And I think it's going to be justified. But I'm justifying that in my own mind ahead of time, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
fingers crossed.
We'll see.
It's going to be very interesting, but fellas,
it's amazing. What a time!
Oh, it is a big time, fellas. That is that's the end of that episode and the end of this episode of Game of Thrones. So, thank you to everybody that put their ears to their headphones or phones.
You are welcome.
Or computers or device, any device really. Thanks
tablet.
For that. Yeah, tablet. Android
tabs. You're losing them.
Sad people that have Androids.
I got an Android, mate.
Bugger. But I've been AJ Jenks, and I've been here with
Benjamin Pryor
and
Cotter Swags.
and we've been 8 days of geeks, and we're back. You're gonna geek. Get 8 days of geek.
Unbelievable. It's been
still,
a while.
Still can't do it. And yeah, it looks like we're back as well as all these other bloody TV shows that are back. Mm. So we'll
we're
see you
back.
We'll see you very soon. Bye bye.
Bye bye. Oh yeah, your dinner is on the table. Come down, Bri. How would you like your sauerkraut?
That's a good ending. Let's have that.
Thanks, mate.
I ain't got nothing but love.